Today's shiur is Masech Menachos, Daf Ayin Beis. We will begin on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Aleph, the second line. We learned in the Mishnah, Kaitzer of Nana Tiyos, one may cut, even though as we've been learning, one may not cut from the new Tvua before the Karvan Michas Ha'imah was brought. Taught us the Mishnah, the Nana Tiyos, if there are trees in the area where the Tvua is growing, or Mibnei Beis Oval, they had, when they came home from Malavaya, they would have Birchas Avelim said publicly, and they would need to have a big, large place for it. Or Mibnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, if there was not enough room in the Beis HaMedrash for those learning, and they needed to have a large area available for the Beis HaMedrash. In all of these situations, one may cut the Omer, even though the term Michas Omer was not yet brought. My time, what is the reason for this dispensation? Says the Gemara, Kitzirchem Amrachmana. The Torah says, only when you cut on your own behalf to have the Tvua. The like to see a mitzvah, not when it's being cut for a mitzvah. And here, certainly, it's being cut for a mitzvah in order to have the Omer. So as the Mefarshim point out, we discussed yesterday that the reason why you could cut of Nei Netios, the Gemara gave actually, the Rishonim, we learned, actually gave two reasons. One reason we learned that they gave was because there's a question of Klayim. So certainly if that's the reason, then we don't have to rely on this Gemara. Because if you're doing it because of the, that's what this Gemara means, because of Ksir Mitzvah. But the other reason we gave in the previous year was because such a place is a place from where you can't bring the Omer, the Tvua for the Michas Omer, and therefore this Gemara has nothing to do, explaining the Mefarshim, with that rule of Mibnei HaNetios. On the other hand, many Mefarshim take the approach that what the Gemara is teaching us here is that the reason you're allowed to cut this is because you're not cutting it for your own needs. You're cutting it for other needs. And because you're cutting it for other needs, that's why it's mutter. But there's actually two approaches how to understand this. The Sfas Emes and the Meches Chinuch are really both facing a similar question. They pose a question that the Halacha, a Birchas HaAvelim, is only the Drabonon. The Isser of cutting the Omer is the Isser Daraisa. So they ask, how could the Isser Daraisa of cutting the Omer, cutting Tvua, be superseded because of Birchas HaAvelim? So the Sfas Emes says, according to the way we understand the Gemara, it's very understandable. Because what the Gemara is teaching us, says the Sfas Emes, is that as long as it's not for your own personal needs that you're cutting the Omer, you're cutting the Omer because you need it, you need the place to do Birchas HaAvelim. It makes no difference if that's the Rabbonim Dig obligation or the Raisa Dig obligation. It doesn't change the reality that you would be allowed to cut the Tvua under those circumstances. The Meches Chinuch, however, takes a different approach. The Meches Chinuch's approach is an interesting approach. He says, yes, the mitzvah Birchas HaAvelim is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and the isser of cutting the Tvua is the isser d'raisa. But that doesn't make a difference. If the Gemara is teaching us that there's a mitzvah, that if it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to cut the Omer, then he says, a very b'chiddush, even if it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, still that rule would apply. The Chazon Yecheskel, Rav Cheskel Abramsky, says another Chiddush. He says, interestingly enough, that this halacha, that you're allowed to cut Mibnei Beis Ovel, Mibnei Beis HaMedrash, is not only in a case where that's the only reason you're cutting. Rather, he explains that even in a place where one is cutting for his own personal needs, he wants the Tvua. But he's also cutting because it's a mitzvah, Mibnei Beis HaEvel, Mibnei Beis HaMedrash, it would be permitted to cut the Omer. We learned further in the Mishnah, V'lo Yasa Kriches, we're not allowed to make them into large bundles. If when we are allowed to cut, we're not allowed to make them into large bundles. Aval menichim tzvasim. Only they may be made into small bundles. Ask the Gemara my tama. Why is that the halacha? Answers the Gemara, the kamer the efsha loitachinen. We try to do the least tircha possible. And I saw in the Achronim actually two ways of understanding this rule. One way the Achronim explained this rule is because we want it to be done with a shinui, and doing it without tircha represents a shinui. That's one approach I saw in the Achronim. Another approach, however, that I saw in the Achronim in explaining the Gemara is that we're concerned that even though under the circumstances that we're describing, one may cut the tefuah, the chadash, one is certainly not allowed to eat the chadash under these before the Michas Hayim was brought. In order to make sure that that doesn't happen, that people don't eat the chadash before they're allowed to, specifically Chazal said that it should be done with less tircha, because if it was done with a lot of tircha, there is a great, Chazal saw a greater reason to be concerned that they may come to eat the chadash, which of course they may not. The Mishnah continued teaching us, mitzvah sa'omer, lavi menakama, lechatchila the omer should come from standing grain. Quotes the Gemara Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, vim takriv minchas bikurim, and to read the entire wording of the pasuk, vim takriv minchas bikurim Hashem, avav koli be'esh, garesh karmel takriv as minchas bikurecha. So the Torah uses the words takrish twice in this pasuk. Most Rishonim say, so the focus of the Gemara is, why does the Torah have to repeat the word takrish? The Rashi, however, says that the Gemara's focus is on the first time the Torah uses the words takrish. Why does the Torah use that extra takrish? Ma tamad loimer. Lefi shemitzah sa'omer, lavi menakama. The mitzvah is to bring the omer from standing grain. Menayin shemloi matzah menakama, yavah menayimer. From where we know that if you didn't find standing grain, you could bring from bundles, tamloi metakrif. Davar achra, takrif, lefi shemitzvah lahavi menalach. L'chatchila one should bring from moist, fresh kernels. O menayin shemloi matzah menalach, yavi menayavish, that you could bring from dry, tamloimer, takrif. It's still fine. Davacher, another rule. Takrif, lefi shemitzvah selitza belayla, lechatchila, it should be cut at night. Menayin shemitzvah beyoyim kosher. How do we know that if it was cut by day, it's still kosher? Tamaloyma, takrif. V'doichas a Shabbos. Furthermore, the halacha is that it's doicha Shabbos, tamaloyma, takrif. And repeats the braisa, takrif, we learn kol shehu, any type of grain, standing grain or harvesting grain, takrif mikamakim, it doesn't necessarily have to be from Yerushalayim. And as the Mefarshim explained, we learned in Daf Samach Dalid that there were two reasons why the omer should have come from tefuah from Yerushalayim. One is because it should be moist. The other reason is because eim avir mala mitzvahs. This Gemara, this braisa is obviously going according the opinion that it's supposed to be moist, because certainly just because of Eim Avir Mala Mitzvah, there is no question that that would not disqualify something from being the Omer. Takav Afilu B'Shabbos and Takav Afilu B'Tumah. And as I saw that the Achronim point out, what is the point of the Braisa repeating what it just said? Haven't all these halachas already been mentioned in this Braisa? Say the Achronim that we have a very interesting situation in this braisa. The Torah uses this superfluous takrif, and the Gemara from the superfluous use of takrif learned many halachas. Now, typically when we have such a situation, it represents a machlokes, that each man, the Omer, is saying that this word comes to teach us a different halacha, there's a machlokes. Teaches us the braisa that here we are not to understand in that way. Rather, we ought to understand that all opinions agree to all halachas, because in the word takrif, all of the halachas that we just learned are included. So the Mishnah taught us, Niktsa b'yoyim, if the Omer was cut by day, the halacha is that it's kosher. Ask the Gemara v'tanan, isn't there a Mishnah Masechta Megillah? The Mishnah says, Kol alayla kosher l'ktsiras Omer. All night you could do ktsiras Omer. Well, hafter chalovim v'avarim, all night you could burn the Avarim. Even though the halacha is that a carbon is supposed to be brought by day, hektech halom veivarim can be by night. So the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, and that is that even though kabbonis are brought by day, hektech halom veivarim may be done at night. Rashi has a different approach here. Rashi says what the Mishnah means is that if the halom veivarim are on the mizbeach at night and they fall off, they may be returned. And the Mishnah continues teaching us. Zakla. Davishim mitzvahs v'yoyim. And something that's mitzvahs to be done by day. Kosher kol ha-yoyim. You may do it all day. Davishim mitzvahs v'layla. And something that the mitzvahs to be done by night. Kosher kol ha-layla. May be done all night. But, makes the Gemara's point. Katana. What is the Braisa comparing? Layla dumya v'yoyim. The night is similar to the day. Ma diyoyim belayla loy. A mitzvah that's supposed to be done by day may not be done at night. The way most Rishonim explain, that's the way we're going to explain. We just said the hakrova of a carbon may be done strictly by day, and it may not be done at night. After layla, so too what's supposed to be done by night beyoyim namiloy. So if the mitzvah of ktsiras ha'omer is supposed to be done by night, how could we suggest, how could our Mishnah suggest that the Ktsiras Omer may be done by day? So Tosfos asks, how can we compare the two situations? For example, Hektah Halavim Vayvarim, the halacha is it could be done by night, it can't be done the next day. But it can't be done the day before either. By Ktsiras Omer, there's a difference that maybe it's only after the night of Tezai and Nissen where you can no longer cut the Omer. But before that day, you should be allowed to cut the Omer. So how could compare the two situations? Responds Tosfos that he sees no reason to differentiate if day is mutter, it's mutter whether it's before Tezai and Nissen or after Tezai and Nissen. And if day is usur, it's usur under all circumstances. So that can't be the way to look at it. Furthermore, the Briskarov and the Avni Nezer say that there's a very important point to be learned from this Gemara. Because why doesn't the Gemara say that the cutting of the Omer is not a mitzvah? And therefore, since it's not a mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference if you do it by day or night. Whereas the other things that are mentioned in the Mishnah are mitzvahs. The fact, they say, that the Gemara does not take that approach is a clear indication that according to our Mishnah, and we mentioned this in our previous year, that according to our Mishnah, that one is allowed to cut the Omer by day, not only is one allowed to cut the Omer by day, but if one cuts the Omer by day, he's actually fulfilling the mitzvah. And therefore the Gemara's question is, if the mitzvah is to cut it by night, isn't that Mishnah teaching us that whenever there's a mitzvah to do something at night, you may not do it by day? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Lo Kasha. The Mishnah in Masechta Menachos represents the opinion of Rebbe. The Mishnah in Masechta Megillah Ha represents the opinion of Elazar of Shimon. The Tanya. There's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Haya Oymet Omakriv Michas Oymer. It's Tezai and Nissen, and they bring the Kar Michas Oymer for Nitmas, and it becomes Tamei. Im Yeshacheres, if there's other barley, even if it's attached to the ground, Oymer Loi, we say, Havei acheres tachtea, bring the other barley, vimlaf. But if there's no other barley available, oimaloi, we say, have bekeich ishtoik. Be quiet, use it, be quietly. And as the Mefarshim explained, because even if we'll say, as we've been learning and we'll learn, that the gmichas ha'oimer may be brought betumah, certainly it's not lechatchila to bring it betumah. And therefore, if they have the ability to find other Omer, they should bring that Omer. Only if they don't have any other Omer available is the halacha that you bring what you have, that you should bring that you should bring what you have, even though it's tame. Furthermore, the halacha is that we should do it quietly. Explain the Rishonim. Why should it be done quietly? Because here we have a heter to bring it betumah, because it's a carbon tzibur. And as we learned, and we'll learn in today's shiur as well, tumah hotra betzibur. By a carbon tzibur, it may be brought betumah. But in order that people should not come to make the mistake that even a carbon yochid may be brought betumah, we specifically keep it quiet if it's being brought betumah. But what is this price, according to Rebbe, clearly indicating? That if they have omer, they have tvur available, even though it's by day, as they're bringing the carbon omer, they could cut. So we see that you're allowed to cut the omer by day. Rav Lozer of Shimon disagrees. He says, benkach and benkach, whether there is other tvur available, or there is no other tvur available, omeloi, have the kayach ishtoik, just be quiet, and use what you have, even though it's tamei. Shekola omer shenitzer shloik mitzvasoi, because if the omer is brought, not cut at night, it's possible. So we clearly see here a machloikis Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar of Shimon. According to Rebbe, you can't cut omer by day, and that's why if you realize by day that your omer is tamei, cut new omer. According to Rebbe Lazar of Shimon, you may not. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of their machlokes? Amar Rabbi Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar of Shimon, b'shitas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shlav of Amri. Rabbi Lazar is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who was the Rebbe of his father of Shimon Yochai. As we know, all of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, passed away between Pesach and Shavuos, and Rabbi Kiva was left with five Talmidim, Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmua. Rabbi Shimon here, Rabbi Lazar here, is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who was the Rebbe of his father, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was the Rebbe of his father, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, b'shitas Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shalav of Amri. The Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Machloikis, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Lezer. We all know that a milah b'zmanon, if the eighth day of the child of a child's birth, a boy's birth, is on Shabbos, we make a bris on Shabbos. The bris is doicha Shabbos. The question there discussed is if there were things that could have been done before Shabbos, may they be done on Shabbos as well? Everybody agrees that certainly lechatchila we should try to minimize Chil Shabbos. But let's say, for example, the knife to do the milah, which could have been transported to where the milah is taking place before Shabbos, wasn't. May we carry it on Shabbos? Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that we may. Rabbi Kiva, the Tanakh, Klal Omer Rabbi Kiva, Kol Malacha She'efshel Asos Erev Shabbos, anything that could have been done before Shabbos, and the Dechus of Shabbos, may not be done on Shabbos. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the Sablach Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Lezer also agrees with what Rabbi Shmuel teaches us. In fact, in the first point that we see, that it's not that Rabbi Lezer is always obligated to follow Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Because the Torah says, Sheish Hashem Tavoy, Ubiyayim HaShviyah Tishboy. See, the Torah teaches us the halacha of Shmirah Shabbos. And the pasuk concludes, B'charish Ubekotzer Tishboy. And the question is, why does the Torah single out these malachas of Charish Shekatsir, plowing and cutting? The Tanakh, Rabbi Shmuel says what the Torah is teaching us is, Ma Charish Shis. There's never a situation, says Rabbi Shmuel, that there's a mitzvah to do Charisha. So the Charisha that the Pasuk is referring to is obviously a discretionary Charisha. Af Kotzer, when the Torah speaks about Katsira being prohibited on Shabbos, it's a Rishus. Only something that's discretionary. Yotzik Tzira Oimer, which is a mitzvah, may be done on Shabbos. Not a Gemara makes its point. V'salkadatach, Niktzah Shloik Mitzvah Kosher, if the halacha is that you don't necessarily have to cut the Oimer, to have Zayin Nissen at night. You could even cut it by day. And it'll be kosher, as makes the Gemara's point, and my Dachi Shabbos, why would the halacha be that you're allowed to cut the Omer, as Rabbi Shmuel just taught us, on Tes Zayin Nissen at night? Nixrim Erev Shabbos, cut it before to avoid Chil Shabbos, because we see according to Bekiva, we're always supposed to try to avoid Chil Shabbos whenever possible. Ella, the fact that we're allowed to cut it Tes Zayin Nissen by night, even if it's on Shabbos, element of Dachi Shabbos. Why? Shmami non, Nitzah Shalom, it's not so possible, because there is no other time to cut it. Cutting by day is not an option. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that the Gemara means here in the Havamina, it doesn't mean to cut it today, because by day would be Yontif. The day before Tes Zayin Nissen is Tes Vav Nissen, and Tes Vav Nissen is a Yontif, is Yontif, you're not allowed to cut. It means cut it before Pesach. The fact that the Torah allows us to cut it Yomta by night, it means, says Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, because you have no other time to cut it. You can't cut it by day. You can't cut it earlier, and therefore Chil Shabbos is permitted. And that's the raya that Rebbe Lazar holds, that you can't cut the Omer by day. There's a very interesting machlokes rishonim. We know, we just said it a moment ago, that a bris milah is supposed to take place on the eighth day. What happens if somebody did a bris milah on his child before the child is 8 days old? The Rosh says that even though he certainly did not do the right thing, the bris is a good bris. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that the bris that's done before the right time is a disqualified bris, and the halach would be that you have to do a tough star bris. We can't do another bris. We would have to make some sort of a let some blood out from that child. The Ramah paskens that way, like the other Rishonim, that if a bris was done before the right time, it's an invalid bris. Says the Shach, that our Gemara is a raya that the Ramah's opinion is the correct opinion. For says the Shach, if the halacha is that you could do a bris before the right time, and it's still considered a valid bris, then the question is, why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Our Gemara is teaching us that you're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos when you have no other option. Here you have another option. Make the bris before the right time. The fact that we see that the bris is allowed to be done on Shabbos is clearly an indication that a bris done any other time is totally invalid. The Shabbos Aryeh disagrees with the Shach's Raya. He doesn't necessarily disagree with the Psak Halacha of the Ramah, but he disagrees with the Raya. Because he says as follows, if the Shach's approach is a correct approach, then we could ask a different question. Why is the Halacha that if the bris is supposed to be done in Shabbos, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? The Halacha certainly is that if a bris is done on a child after the eighth day, then it's certainly a valid bris. So why not just do the bris later? Because we're saying that whenever you can avoid Chil Shabbos, we should avoid Chil Shabbos. So how can we ever do a bris on Shabbos? Says the Shach, we must understand that a bris is somewhat different. What does that mean? That the way we look at a bris is that the Torah established that there's a special mitzvah to do the bris specifically on the eighth day. And therefore, even if there is an option of doing the bris before the eighth day or doing the bris after the eighth day, it's still better to do the bris on the eighth day because there's a special mitzvah. And therefore we can't bring a raya from bris to this concept. So now we understand how Rabbi Elazar of Shimon came to his opinion that the tzira of the Omer may not be done by day. Rebbe, we however explained that the Tana of our Mishnah was Rebbe, and that Rebbe holds that you can do it by day. Asked the Gemara, the Rebbe lach Talmid of Shimon who? Wasn't Rebbe as well a Talmud of Reb Shimon? The Tanya, Amr Rebbe, Kishin Limid in Torah, Eitzel Reb Shimon v'Tekoa, when we learn in Torah by Rebbe in Tekoa, Ha'inu Ma'alun L'Shem V'Aluntas Mechotz L'Gat, that we would carry oil and towels from the courtyard to the roof, Migad lekarfif, from the roof to the karfif, bekarfif lekarfach, from one karfif to another karfif, atchon megiim lema'ayin shana rochim, until we got to the spring where we washed. What was this heter? That even that all of these areas are rishus hayochets, but they're separate rishus hayochets. And it is the opinion of Reb Shimon that you could carry from one rishus hayochet to another rishus hayochet. But the bottom line here is that we could that we see that he was a Talmud of Reb Shimon, and according to Reb Shimon, you should not be allowed if the halacha is that you could cut the omer before night. Why are you allowed to cut it at night on Yontif? Should you minimize Chil Shabbos Chil Yontif? Answers the Gemara. Rebbe based his opinion on another point Reb Shimon made. Savaloi Ka'idat Reb Shimon. He followed a different opinion of Reb Shimon. The Tenya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Reb Shimon, how great it is to do the mitzvah in the proper time. For as we learned earlier in our Shia today, the halach is, you could burn chalom v'ivarim all night. Yet, on Shabbos, they would burn the chalom v'ivarim on Shabbos themselves. The question is, how? Why? Didn't we just learn that you're supposed to minimize chil Shabbos? So how could, why burn the chalom v'ivarim on Shabbos? Why not wait till Matzoi Shabbos and minimize chil Shabbos? What do we see from here? That doing the mitzvah at the proper time supersedes everything else. Therefore, similarly here, yes, you could cut the omer before Shabbos Yontif, but it's better to do it at the right time, and that's why, even though you could cut it earlier, you may cut it, and you should cut it, says Rebbe, on Shabbos for Yontif. This concept of chaviva mitzvah b'shata is again used by the Paiskim in many areas of halacha. One shaila that I saw, we know the halacha is that one puts on talis and tefillin in the morning, one is supposed to put on his talis and then the tefillin. And the question is, let's say someone has tefillin available to him, but he doesn't have the talis available. Should he put on tefillin now, even though he won't be wearing the talis? Or should he wait till he gets a talis? The Paiskim suggest, if now is the right time to put on tefillin, we see, the Magen Avraham says this, chaviva mitzvah b'shata, I put it on now. Another interesting shaila that I saw that the Shvus Yaakov discusses. The Shvus Yaakov discusses a situation where, let's say it's Sukkos in the morning, and someone has Dalet Minim available to him. And the Dalet Minim that he has available to him are not that nice. But he believes that if he waits, he may get nicer Dalet Minim. Should he wait or use what he has? Say to Paiskim that unless the person is absolutely certain, of course we're talking that it'll be before this man is over, but unless the person is certain, maybe he should take what he has, because chaviva mitzvah b'shata, do the mitzvah as soon as possible. Interesting question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss is, let's say there's a child that's born in, and he's not a well child, and the bris cannot be made in the proper time. And this child is a Bechor. And now it's the day that of his Pidyon HaBen. And in fact, there are Paiskim that suggest that when Menhagim, it's not our meaning, that they would do the Pidyon HaBen even at night of the 31st day, just because to do the mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shata. But we're not going into that issue. Now he has, it's the day to do the Pidyon HaBen. And Baruch Hashem, the doctors have also said that he's well enough to have a bris milah. What should be done first? The Pidyon HaBen or the bris milah? There are Paiskim that suggest that the bris milah should be done first. Because you want a child that already had a bris milah, that's how he should enter into his Pidyon HaBen. There are, however, Paiskim that suggest that no, do the Pidyon HaBen first. Why? Based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara has just taught us the concept of chaviva mitzvah b'shata, how valuable it is to do a mitzvah at the proper time. The proper time to do this Pidyon HaBen is today. The bris that we're doing today has already been delayed anyway. And that's why maybe the Pidyon HaBen should come first. Certainly, all the Paiskim agree that if the bris still, for whatever reason, unfortunately, cannot be done, they should do the Pinyan HaBen today and not delay the Pinyan HaBen. So now, we've explained the basis of the machlokes between Rebbe, who holds that the Tziras HaOmer can be done even by day before, and Rebbe Elazar HaShulchan, who disagrees. Ask the Gemara. And we explained that the basis of Rebbe is because of Chaviva Metzvah B'Shata. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar HaShulchan L'Shmile, does Rebbe Shimon B'Lazar not agree to this concept of Chaviva Metzvah B'Shata? Ella, what must we say? Shani Hasam. You know why you're allowed to do the Hekta Chilavim on Shabbos, even though you could have done it Matzah Shabbos? So he does the Shechita on Shabbos. Because you've anyway done it. You anyway did Shechita anyway. Once we did Shechita anyway, that's why we could do the Hekta Chilavim Vevarim on Shabbos. But otherwise, if you don't have to be Mechal Shabbos, you should not be Mechal Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar of Shimon's defense is great. Rebbe Hachinami, how could he bring a raya from Hekta Chalav Vaymarim to Tziras Omer? There we have a concept of the Doxa Shechitas HaShabbos. I saw a beautiful vart. We say, when we daven Musaf and Shabbos, the Tatziveinu Hashem Alkeinu, Lahakrba Kavim Musaf Shabbos, Karoi. Now, Mepharshim tried to understand, what does the word Karoi mean? So now I saw the Mepharshim explain it's based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara is teaching us that not only the Shechita of the Karvin may be done in Shabbos, but even the Hekta Chalavim may be done in Shabbos. That's what the Tzven Hashem HaKen Lasma Kuroi, the proper way to bring it, is not only doing the Shechita on Shabbos, but even the Hekta Chalavim Vevorim to be done on Shabbos as well. So our Gemara has taught us that the Hekta Chalavim Vevorim is a special, it's a special case, because we already did the Shechita anyway. This is Machloitis in Rishonim. How do we understand now the Hector to do Hector Chalom Vevarim and Shabbos? Is it to be understood strictly because Harish, as the Gemara just said, because Shechita was Doichu Shabbos? Or is it to be understood as a combination, combining the fact that you already did the Shechita on Shabbos with the concept of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shata, that's why you're allowed to do it. This concept, that since something was already mutter, we could take it further, I saw the Paiskim use this concept in a number of areas of halacha. One area of halacha that they use it, again, going back to Bris Milah, is that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos teaches us that if someone is in the middle of doing a Milah on Shabbos, he's even allowed to, and he didn't make a complete cut of the entire area, even if there are places where if you didn't remove that skin, the Milah is kosher, you're allowed to go back. Even to take off those pieces we made on Shabbos. And the question is, we're learning that we're supposed to minimize Chil Shabbos, so we're supposed to minimize Chil Shabbos. How can we cut these places that aren't absolutely necessary? So saw that the Prichadish explains, based on our Gemara. Because the Prichadish says that our Gemara says that just once you start, you're doing the Shechita. So that's why you can do the Hekta Chalom Vevarim, even though they don't have to necessarily be done on Shabbos. Similarly, even though these are tzitzim, she'erim makvin, once you're doing the milah, which you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're even allowed to cut the tzitzim, she'erim makvin. There's an interesting psak from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that under certain circumstances, if someone lost his wife, he's allowed to get remarried immediately, even during the Shloshim. One of the cases if he doesn't have any children, in order to be Mekayim, Mitzvahs Puravu. Says the Chassam Sofer, if a person is getting married, even though it's a middle of the Shloshim, and we know normally when somebody is Rachman Tzlan in the Shloshim, he's not allowed to take a haircut, not allowed to wash himself normally. Here, says the Chassam Sofer, the same concept of Al Gemara. Once he has a hetter to get married, he has a hetter to do the other things as well. Just like Al Gemara says, once there's a hetter to do the Shechita, there's also a hetter to do Chalom Vevarim. So we're back to where we started. We need to understand the basis of Rebbe's opinion. Says the Gemara, indeed, Ksav Rebbe, Ksiris Omer Lo Dafi Shabbos, Ksiris Omer is not Doicha Shabbos, and therefore it should be done by day. And in other words, if the second day of Pesach comes out on Shabbos, they didn't do according to Rebbe the Tzirus Oimer that night. They prepared it from before Shabbos, from before Yom Tov. Ask them, is that true? But tonight, we went to the Mishnah at the beginning of our parak. They brought the Oimer from three saw flour. So the Gemara is like Rebbe. That Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says further, V'chom Oimer. There were three people, b'shloshe kupos, and three baskets, b'shloshe maglos, using three sickles. So we see that they did cut the oimer on Shabbos. Again, response to Gemara, blood to Rebbe. That doesn't represent the opinion of Rebbe. Ask the Gemara from another Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, over Shabbos, when they cut the oimer on Shabbos, yomlam, it should be announced that Shabbos is Shabbos. So we see it's cut on Shabbos. Again, says the Gemara, blood to Rebbe. But now ask the Gemara from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nitzah b'yoyim kosher b'dorchus Shabbos. Makes the Gemara's point. Man shamitle, who is the Tana as we've been learning in our shir? The Omer Nitzah b'yoyim kosher, that the Omer Rebbe cut by day. Rebbe. And yet Rebbe, who's obviously the Tana of our Mishnah, the Mishnah continues saying b'dorchus Shabbos. Isn't the Mishnah teaching us my love tzira? Isn't the Mishnah teaching us that the tzira may take place on Shabbos? So the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah meant. But the Mishnah meant is that krova of the Oimer, certainly everybody agrees, takes place on Shabbos, because it can't be taken, it can't take place any other time. But not the Ketzira Loi, because indeed, according to Rebbe, the halacha is, since the Ketzira can be done by day, if the second day of Pesach is Shabbos, they should prepare the Oimer from before. Ask the Gemara. But Tanya, but there's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Rebbe Oimer, Yidave Moshe, Esme Adi Hashem. Ma Tamaloyma. Vifish Lomanu, Elo Tamina Pesach. We only know that by the Tamin and the Karn Pesach, that the Doicha Shabbos and the Doicha Tumma. It's never Vimayadai. The Torah uses the word by Mayadai. Vimayadai fill the Shabbos, Vimayadai fill the Tumma. And as the Rishonim explained, we learn from one Mayadai that's Doicha Shabbos. We learn from the other Ma'adah that's Doicha Tumah, then we learn one from the other. Continues the Braisa. Shar Kabbonis Tzibra Menayim. How do we know other Kabbonis as well? Tam Loimer. Elo Tas Lashem B'mayadeichem. That the Doicha, that any carbon that has a specific time is Doicha Shabbos Tumah. So ask the Rishonim, if we have the word Mayadeichem that teaches us by all the Kabbonis, why do we need special pasuk by Tamid and Pesach? Answer the Rishonim that only after we've learned the halacha of Pesach and Tamid can we extend and say Mayadeichem means the other kabbonis. Were we not to have Mayadoi by Pesach and Tamid, we could not extend it any further. Continue the Braisa. Menayel Rabbis Oimer Bekarvim Mayim. Shtei Lech Bekarvim Mayim. That the Doicha Shabbos and Tumah. Tamaloyma. Yidav Moshes Me'ad Hashem, Hakosav Kavam Moed L'Kulam. They're all Doicha Shabbos and Tumah. Now ask the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean here? Laman, Ilayim Malak Krovo, that you're allowed to be Makriv the Shtei Lechem the Omer on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Shtei Lechem Bnei Krovin in them. Were Shtei Lechem brought in the Mizbeach? They were eaten by the Kahanim. There's no Krov valve. What must it mean? Pshita Tchina Ve'akada. That it means grinding and sifting. Or the Kavasah, that may take place even on Shabbos. Or the Kavasah, and isn't the Braisa, when it continues with teaching us the halakha of Omer, is saying that the Ketzira of the Omer is Doicha Shabbos. So isn't this Braisa clearly a raya that you're allowed to cut the Omer on Shabbos? So tomorrow, that's not what the Braisa means. Omer, it means being makar of the Omer. Cutting the Omer, Rebbe says you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Ushtei Alechem, it means you're allowed to bake them on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to bake them on Shabbos? Because Rebbe is of the opinion. Rebbe holds Tanner Makadish. The Tanner is Makadish to Shtei Alechem. And therefore, if they're going to bake the Shtei Alechem before Yom Tov, if Shlobalina, it's going to become possible with Lina from Erev Yom Tov to Yom Tov. But indeed, anything else that could have been done before Yom Tov must be done before Yom Tov, as is the halacha regarding the Omer, only the carbon can be brought on Yom Tov, not the Kohen. Ask the Gemara, can we say the Rebbe holds Tana Mekadosh? But Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Kifsei Etzeres, Ein Mekadoshim. So Lechem El B'Shchita, the Shtei Lechem that come with the Kifsei Etzeres, only become Kadosh with the Shchita. We learned this in Daf Mem Zayin. Ketza, Shachtim L'Shmon, if the Shchita of the Kifsei Etzeres was done properly. The Zarek Dam L'Shmon, Kiddush Alechem. However, Shachtim Shloi L'Shmon, the Zarek Dam Shloi L'Shmon, Loi Kiddush Alechem. Shachtim L'Shmon, the Zarek Dam Shloi L'Shmon, the Shchita was done properly. The Zarek improperly, Halacha is Halacha Kadosh V'Ein HaKadosh, the Devei Rebbe, but what do we see from here? It's not the tanner that the Gemara, as the Gemara wanted to suggest, according to Rebbe, that's Mekadosh to Shtei Lechem. It's the Shechita and the Zrika that are Mekadosh them. Answers the Gemara, that's not what that price means. Rebbe indeed agrees that's the tanner that's Mekadosh to Shtei Lechem. What that price is referring to is a different issue altogether. Like cook for Kama. Way most Rishonim explain, as we learned earlier, the halacha is that once you designate the Shtei Lechem, you could change your mind, but once you brought the Kifsei Atzeres, you could no longer change your designation. And that's what the Braisa means to teach us, that once the Kifsei Atzeres were properly brought, you can't change your decision of what to do with the Shtei Lechem. Others explain that we've learned many times in our Masech, the halacha of Yoytzei, that once it's taken out of the Azara, it becomes fossil. And the Braisa is teaching us that when will that halacha apply to the Shtei Lechem? Only after the Kifsei Atzeres were brought properly. The Keren L'David says a beautiful vart. We all know that the Torah teaches us that he had Nashim Shere Tmeim L'Nefesh. There were people that were Tamei by Pesach, or Yuch L'Lasis of Pesach, and therefore they could not bring the Karan Pesach. And they said to Moshe, "V'yomra Hanoshim Haimei Elov, Anachnu Tameim L'Nefesh Adam, we are Tamei, Lama Nigar L'Vil Tehikrav Es Kavan Hashem Me'adai. Why should we not be able to bring the Karan?" So the Keren L'David asked the obvious question. They themselves gave the answer. They're Tamei, and somebody who's Tamei can't bring the Karan. What was their issue with Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Keren L'David says, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the year that Klal Yisrael brought that Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach was in Shabbos. And they saw that even though Erev Pesach was in Shabbos, they were allowed to be makar the Karban Pesach. And our Gemara has been teaching us that why? Because the Karban Pesach is Doyich Shabbos. But our Gemara is also teaching us that the Karban Pesach was Doyich Tumah, that they traveled together, as we explained when we learned the Gemara. So that was why they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course they knew they were Tamei. And of course they knew that normally a person who's Tamei cannot bring a carbon. But they saw that this is an exception to the rule. That because they're bringing the carbon on Shabbos. And maybe they should be allowed to bring the carbon even when they're Tamei. To which Moshe Rabbeinu responded, Tumah Hutra but Tzibur. Only a Tzibur could bring a carbon when they're Tamei, not a Yochid. Hanun Lachar Bishmal, Hanun Lachar Bishmal, Hanun Lachar Bishmal. We begin now in the next parak, and the Mishnah goes back to the halachas of kmitza. Be'elam minchas nekmatas, the following minchas kmitza is taken for them. B'shireim l'kanim, the shiarim eaten by kahanim. Minchas asoyla. Machlokas rishonim, when is the kmitza done on this mincha? Some say when it's still flour. Other rishonim say when it's dough, but certainly before it's baked. V'machvas, v'macheshes. Machvas is a griddle. Macheshes is deep fry. Chalas for a kikin. Normally the difference between chalas and a kikin is that in chalas the oil is mixed into the flour. Rekikin is smeared on top. Others say the chalas are thicker loaves. Rekikin are more like wafers. Mechas avos kachavim. Mechas noshim. Mechas oimer that we've been discussing. Mechas choytei. And mechas kanos. Says Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon oimer. Mechas choytei. We know that halacha is that any carbon mincha brought by a kohen must be completely burnt. On the other hand, we know by a mechas chayta, as we just learned, kmitza has to be done. So what happens when a kohen did an aveir for which he has to bring a carbon mincha? The case where you bring a carbon oil of a yard, you bring a carbon mincha. Says Rav Shimon, mechas chayta shel kohanim nekmetzes. The kohen is brought for itself, the shrine kreim atzmai, and the shrine are burnt by themselves. Again, we will discuss exactly where are they burnt. Are they burnt? Is it just that they're separate during the kmitza portion, that they can be burnt together, or can be burnt, or even if they're not burnt together, they burnt them both on the mizbeach, or perhaps the shrine not even burnt on the mizbeach at all. Amar Papa, says the Papa Kolech, the Tanan Eser, Tanan. Wherever we speak about Karban Minchas, we speak about 10 different types of Minchas. Mike Mashmot says the one, what is Rav Papa coming to teach us? To Lafukim Rav Shimon, that he disagrees with Rav Shimon. Domar, Metzah Chalas, Metzah Rekikin Yavi, a person to bring Karban Minchas that's half Chalas and half Rekikin. So according to Rav Shimon, there's an 11th type of Mincha, a Mincha that's half Chalas and half Rekikin. Kamashmalan, that's why Rav Papa says that the Mishnah doesn't agree with that opinion. The Shirayim, we learned that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kahana. The Nolan says the Gemara, what's the question? Ksiva, Ksiva, wherever the Torah says that it's eaten, the Torah says so. But like Ksiva, and where the Torah doesn't say so, Ksiba, we have a passage that says, V'zoyz Torah sabin l'chahakwa yisab b'nei Aram, v'neseris, so the Torah gives us a general rule that this is the halacha for Karban Minchas, that you take kmitza and the shrine are eaten by the kahana. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the Gemara means to ask is when the Gemara uses the words menorah, it seems that we're learning something that's a chiddush. And the Gemara is saying, what's the chiddush here? Answers the Gemara, indeed. Bar chitin, if it's a Karban Minchas from chitin, lo kamei boilon, he kamei boilon. The question is, Ba'a Sa'im. So Rashi explains, since most Karban Minchas come from Chitin, we would think maybe this rule only applies by Chitin, not necessarily by Sa'im. Tosfos says, because Sa'im, we know, are typically a mach or behema, it's not what humans eat, and that's why the Gemara is asking, maybe Sa'im don't have the same halakha as Chitin. Says the Gemara, what's the question? Ba'a Sa'im Nami, midin the Kmetzes, if Kmetzes is done, so obviously, the Shirah are eaten by the Kahanim. Says the Gemara, correct. I'll leave with the Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, like from Boilon. Because according to Rabbanan, there's never a situation where Kemitzah is done and the Shirayim are not eaten by the Kahanim. So if by the Mincha that comes from Sa'irim, the Mincha's Kenaz, the Mincha's Saita, the Mincha's Chaita, since Kemitzah is done, certainly the Shirayim eat the Kahanim. I'll leave it to Rav Shimon. However, the Gemara, Kikam and Baila, where is the Gemara asking? I'll leave it to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon just taught us in the Mishnah, the Ikka Mincha, that there is a Mincha, the Mechmetzma, where Kemitz is done, Loi Mesachla, the Minchas Chayt of Kahanim. The Tanah, Rav Shimon Aymer, Minchas Kahanim Shal Kahanim, the Kemetzis. And we learned in the Mishnah, Kahanim's Kar Ba'atzmai, the Shrine Kahanim Ba'atzmai. So now the Gemara wants to know, Minolon, where do we know that the Halachi is, that by Mincha of Sairim, we do Kmitza and Shiram Nechelim Lekahanim. Am Chizkiya, Dama Kro, because the Pasuk says, V'cham Mincha Belula B'Shem Chareva L'cha B'nei Aram Tia. Ime Eina Inyan L'Belula Shal Chitin, because we already learned that Halacha. T'nei Inyan L'Belula Shal Sairim. V'me Eina L'Chareva Shal Chitin, it's not talking about a case where there's no oil. T'nei Inyan L'Chareva Shal Sairim, and the Pasuk is teaching us that even by Sa'irim as well, the halacha is that kmitza is done in all cases and the shirayim are eaten by Kohanim.